If you would, take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Mothers are such a vital element of God's plan and purpose, His design for all of us. It's one of the most incredible, beautiful things, the nuclear family that God has created. It's His intention, it's His purpose to make sure that everything is in order according to the law of God. And in the law of God, His perfect will is that a man be married to a woman. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is God's perfect will that a man be married to a woman. And that two men would not be married. It's against the nature of the law of God. Two women are to not be married. It is against the nature and the law of God. And that's not Winston's idea. That's God's perfect design. That's not to be mean or hateful, but it is to point out to you there is a reason that the devil loves to assault the nuclear family, that there would be a mother and a father who are married to each other, living in the home with their children. It is all part of God's plan. Now, I know culture and I know identity is often skewed away from the Word of God, but all the moms in the room say amen.
Amen.
You have a job, a role, and a position that is greater than feeding mouths. Although we so appreciate it when you do feed us. And your job, your role, and your position is so much greater than doing the laundry. Although it is such a blessing when those socks are perfectly together. There's blessings all around motherhood. But motherhood is so vital. It actually forms lives. And in all reality, for the Christian mother, motherhood is a ministry. Motherhood is a ministry. The world is pushing against moms every day. It's pushing a narrative of performance and perfection, all put on a screen via Instagram or TikTok or Facebook or Snapchat. But Scripture highlights something weightier and heavier, deeper, and it's a wonderful thing. It's my heart for every mother to see this today, and it is this: unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith. The faith of a mother. The ministry of motherhood. How important and how vital and how wonderful it is. But that unfeigned faith is this: it is genuine, living, enduring faith. And here's where I want you to pay attention. It's faith that's passed on from one generation to another. It's the most wonderful kind of faith. And we go now to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And Paul is highlighting the life and the faith of a very impactful young man named Timothy. And Paul, in the middle of this, he does something quite remarkable. He traces the foundation of this young man's faith. And you'll notice it's not his resume and his accomplishments in ministry. It's not Timothy's Greek heritage or his Jewish lineage, but it's rather the women who raised him. Motherhood, again, is a ministry. Before Paul mentions Timothy's calling, before Paul mentions his courage, the gifts that God has given him, Paul remembers the foundation of Timothy's faith and his life. And if you'll go with me now to the fifth verse for the sake of time. 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. So Paul is telling Timothy, I'm calling to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, comma, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, Paul says, that in thee also. So this kind of faith can't come from culture. It didn't come from Timothy's father. Acts chapter 16 tells us that Timothy's father is a Greek, a man who more than likely never was converted. It can't come from that. It came from the hearts and the intentional lives of two women who had been transformed by God. More than likely, his mother and his grandmother had been saved when Paul and Barnabas were there on one of those missionary journeys, and this is the fruit thereof. But this is a vital thing for every mother to hear under the sound of my voice. And if you're going to turn off the message for the rest of the day, at least get this part, because it's the most important part. Understand that this faith, this unfeigned faith that had been passed on to Timothy, that there was no way for Lois and Eunice, the mother and grandmother of Timothy, to pass on something that they do not possess. It is impossible to pass this on without first possessing genuine faith. There's no way to make this impact without it. So faith isn't inherited like eye color. It's personal. It changes who you are. It impacts the lives of children through you living your faith as an example. And it's taught in word. It's modeled in hardship. It's shown in the sacrifice of motherhood. Are you with me this morning? I said motherhood is a ministry. The truth is so simple to understand. If you want your children to walk in truth, you must first walk in truth. If you want them to know Jesus deeply and to live eternally in his presence, then you must know him deeply first. You say, Pastor, what does the ministry of a mother look like? Well, look to Jesus this morning. Look to Jesus himself. 30 of the 33 years of his life on this earth, much of it was in obscurity. No crowds, no stage, no miracles, no recognition, just faithfulness. Over and over and over, faithfulness every single day. Faithfulness as the Son of God with the pressure of being an understudy to his earthly father, Joseph. Serving his family, honoring his parents, preparing quietly for the day when his day would come, that appointed time, as the Bible calls it. And he just served quietly and faithfully without a platform or without applause. And Christian mothers, if you're serving in this ministry of motherhood, you are more like Christ every day than you could ever imagine. When you're changing the diapers instead of changing the world, when you're folding laundry instead of leading publicly with influence, when you're wiping tears that nobody sees, when you're loving and correcting even privately, when you're away from everyone else and you pour your heart out to the Father with tears rolling down your face because of your heart for your children, and maybe you feel inadequate to be their mother, you're just like Jesus was. And it's an incredible ministry that God has given you in motherhood. You're living and walking in faith just as the Lord Jesus did during his ministry. The greatest ministries are often born in private faithfulness, not public applause. And Lois and Eunice, this mother and grandmother of Timothy, these ladies were not conference speakers. They were not social media influencers. They probably were not even the coolest mom and grandmother in their city. Rather, they were just ordinary women with extraordinary faith. I said motherhood is a ministry. It is God who used them to form the spiritual backbone of one of the greatest leaders in church history. When you hear me clearly this morning, you do not have to be noticed as a mother to be necessary. You are necessary, Mom. You don't have to be seen to be significant. Your significance, all the moms say amen. Your significance cannot be spoken. It is impossible to speak of how significant you really are to your family and to your children. You just have to be faithful to be the mother operating in the ministry that God's called you to be a part of. You go back to verse 5, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice. I'm persuaded that in thee also. Now Paul's going to add to that. He's going to build. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Uh-oh. There's the fruit of what Lois and Eunice have done. I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul's saying your mama and your grandmama got you right and they got the foundation started so that I could build, making you the man for ministry and for pastoring and for doing all that I know that God's called you to do. I had somewhere to start. It's all because of the grandmama and the mama in this boy's life. He says, for God, Timothy, has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For just a minute, I want to share just a few thoughts on the ministry of motherhood. Holy Father, in Jesus' name, take your word, bless it. God, use it for your glory. God, focus us for just a few more minutes, God, to get what you'd have for us. God, we know time is limited, but Lord, I pray that you'd help me deliver exactly what you'd have me deliver. And Lord, that you'd encourage every mother that's here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Notice the blessing of this motherly foundation in the life of this young man. And notice where it led. If you know the story of Timothy, you can already say praise God for the influence of his mother and his grandmother. The things that were cultivated in his life. But I want you to see three things. Three ending points, if you will, or three vital elements that every child, are you with me? That every child must have in this day. And it all begins with the heart and the compassion and the love of a mother. And it's what the Apostle Paul pointed to once he talks about his foundation. He goes here, let's go to verse number 7 again. For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. The first thing I want you to see, this ministry of the motherhood, you are setting up your children to have power. Everybody say that word with me, power. And it's that the mother is teaching them to stand in and on something. It's that a mother's role is to point to the truth, that there is something stable to stand on, something to believe in. And it's obvious through this text that Timothy was struggling with fear. Timothy was afraid of something. And isn't every child at one point in their life struggling somehow with fear? I hated the dark as a child. I'm still not too fond of it. That's why I bought night vision. Can I get a witness? I don't like the dark. And something is in Timothy's life that's causing him fear. The Apostle Paul is not going to waste one word on this man. And he tells Timothy, Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. And then he's told him to stir up that which he knows. What does he know? He knows what his grandmother and his mother have invested in his life. Why is it so important to tackle fear? Why is it so important that your children do not grow up afraid? Because fear, listen to this, fear is the enemy of purpose. Fear is undue. It is not from God. I'm not talking about fear of the Lord. I'm talking about undue fear, worry, anxiety, depression, panic. Fear, at the end of the day, is what all of that really is. It keeps us stuck in our comforts. It keeps us silent in our obedience for God. And fear holds us back from becoming who God has designed us to be. And if there's anything we know about child psychology in this day, is that we are raising and have raised the most fearful generation of people ever to walk the face of the planet. Why is that? It's because no one is teaching them to stand in power so that they are not afraid. Timothy was dealing with some sort of fear, and we don't know what it is. When I get to heaven, it's on my list. I'm going to ask. But his mother and his grandmother had prepared him. They had laid the foundation. Listen to this. This will bless you. They had laid the foundation for Timothy to overcome fear. It's not that they solved all of his problems by investing in his life. No, Timothy's going to face problems. He's a Baptist pastor. Can I get a witness in the house? This isn't about solving problems. This is about being able to face what the world throws at you head on. It's about being able to understand and to quantify, how do I respond to the fear that's in my life? This isn't new to Timothy. He's heard it before. That's why the Apostle Paul is telling him to stir up that which he knows. And what's wonderful is that everything that Timothy was dealing with personally, The Apostle Paul was able to speak directly through his ministry, but not through just Paul's ministry, but stirring up that which he already knew. I'll put it this way in plain mountain talk. Timothy was primed and prepared to deal with the problems that he had. Why? Because he had a mama and a grandmama that knew God and that invested in his life. He was ready. If you go on and study this out, I don't have time to get into all of this today, but Paul helped Timothy understand that there are going to be obstacles because you're young, Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let no man despise thy youth. Be an example of believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. You're young, Timothy. You're going to have problems. And here's how we solve it. Do this. Now, if Timothy's not been raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, Timothy's not going to listen to Paul, right? But because Timothy has had the foundation laid in his life, mama and grandmama are investing in his life. He is primed and he is prepared and he is ready to listen to spiritual authority. Oh, man. You know why some of your kids won't listen to the preacher? Because you don't make them listen to you. There I go meddling. Lord help us. Lord help us. You get in the car and tear apart the preacher for the next 30 minutes on the ride home. What do you think your babies are going to do when they get a little older? We are to prime our children and prepare them to be able to respond to spiritual authority. And the ultimate spiritual authority isn't their pastor or their children's pastor or their youth pastor. The ultimate spiritual authority is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost spoken through the precious word of God. Paul was able to say that to Timothy because Timothy was going to respond to it because Lois and Eunice had invested in his life, building that foundation, telling him how to live, to give him power to withstand the day in which he was living, no matter what obstacle he was facing. Motherhood is a ministry. What a wonderful ministry it is. Not only was Timothy young, but he was physically frail. Timothy was sick. Again, it's on my list. I'm going to ask when I get to heaven. I've got a long list of things I want to ask and I want to know. You said, that's silly. No, I can't wait to get to heaven and ask it. I'm okay with a godly imagination. Some of y'all need to get one. All right, here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul points out to his physical ailments. He says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. He's giving him a medicinal recommendation. Something's wrong with Timothy. Timothy, again, he's pastoring a church in Ephesus. And Ephesus, as we have learned, is a city full of idolatry, full of false teachers and spiritual warfare. So Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift. And don't be afraid, Timothy. Go back to what grandmama and mama taught you. And remember that you are a child of God. Don't be afraid. But how could Timothy do that? Because from the time Timothy was a baby, a child, a little infant, his mother and his grandmother had taught him how to stand, not as a fearful, weak, limp, spineless boy, but as a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Look where this is going, and we'll finish this thought here. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You want to know when to start teaching your children the word? Now. Amen. Yesterday. 5 years ago. And it's one thing for them to enjoy life, and we should, and they will, but they must hear the word come out of their mother's mouth. And that from a child, Timothy, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. My goodness. Through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Do you want your babies to be saved and go to heaven one day? Then teach them the blessed holy word of God. Point them to the truth, even as a child, that salvation is from the Lord. This is power. This is how you overcome fear. When a child knows the word and the word is in them, they can stand flat-footed even at a school that's full of wickedness and darkness and all the pulls of this world, and they can have something living on the inside of them. Listen to me now. Even if they're not yet in the faith, they just know mama knows it and mama believes it, and so I'll know it and I'll believe it because mama does. You hear me? God has given you a platform and a position and a ministry to minister to your children with a greater influence than anybody on this earth. Greater than their pastor, greater than their youth pastor, greater than their children's pastor, and greater than any Christian educator could ever influence your children. Mamas, your ministry is of great consequence, and it is unto salvation that you teach them the word of God. That is the power that Timothy needed, and it's what Paul reminded him of. You say, well, I feel guilty instantly that I haven't done that with my children. Would you love your children enough then, please, today to surrender to the sweet, tender Holy Ghost and do it differently for the sake of your children? This isn't to make you feel bad or guilty or ashamed. It's to sound the alarm and the warning and to show you the beautiful opportunity of motherhood as a ministry. Moms, if you want your children to stand strong in a shaking world, show them how you stand. How do you stand, Mom, when the trouble comes to the house? How do you stand, Mama, when the trials and the temptation come? And then better yet, what do you stand on? Is it the size of your house and the money that's in the account and the type vehicle you drive and where you live? Or is it the blessed holy word of God on which your house is built? Your children will know. They'll know where the house is built. They'll know if it's built on experience and money and time off and vacation and square footage, or they'll know if it's built on the word of God. Motherhood is a ministry. It's an opportunity to invest in the children, to give them power over death and hell and the grave and everything that comes against them through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly is passion. Mothers in their ministry, they're giving to their children power. They're giving them passion. Notice what he says of, look, go back to this verse. Let's get it all in context. I know we've got to go, but go to verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love. Power and love. It's one thing to have power. It's another thing to have power and love. That's passion. The Paul here, he's describing agape love. This is sacrificial love, covenant love, unconditional love. This is not emotional fluff and stuff. This is spiritual fire. This is the ability to withstand in the darkest of days when the demons and the imps of hell come, to have not only power but love. Not just love for mommy, not just love for daddy, but a love for the word of God and the things of God and the truth of God. Lois and Eunice didn't just raise Timothy. They didn't just raise him with rules and regulations. They raised him with relational love that was rooted in Christ. And Mom, you will never be able to give a child relational love understanding without first possessing what Lois and Eunice had, and that is relational love with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a personal relationship. It's not a religious action. It's a personal daily walk. And I think it's important to see this as we begin to wrap this thought up on Mother's Day. I want you to be able to go and enjoy your day. But I do want to get to the end of this and share just one more thing with you. I want you to notice what Lois and Eunice did not have. Somebody can come to the piano as we close. I want to wrap this up, but I want to drive this home. Better yet, God wants to. I want you to notice what they didn't have. And we're not celebrating. Don't lose your attention. Stay right here with me. Don't pay attention to what they didn't have to celebrate what they didn't have. But notice what Timothy's mama didn't have and how she overcame. Timothy's daddy's not a believer. He's a Greek. He's a pagan. No proof that he ever got converted. Acts 16:1 is almost all the proof you need that Timothy's daddy wasn't there. That's why the Apostle Paul was so hands-on in his life. He didn't have a daddy. Are you with me? So notice what Lois and Eunice don't have to offer for Timothy. They poured into him without the help of a believing husband. There wasn't a godly daddy at home. They trained him to love Christ in adversity. If you know anything about the day they're living in, it's full of adversity. And really, they loved Timothy enough to teach him truth in a culture where a woman who didn't have a husband at home was seen as a lesser outcast. And they just warred right through. I am going to love my son enough to teach him the word, to invest in his life. There may not be a daddy at home, but there is a God in heaven who will help me. And there may not be a daddy to lead, but I'll do all that I can and point him to men like the Apostle Paul, and he will help me raise my son in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. All the single mamas, listen to your pastor in love. You have a church here that's here for a purpose. And if there's no good godly man at your house, I can't fix it for you. Only God can. But what I can do and what the deacons of this church are supposed to do is to come beside you and help be godly figures of male influence in the lives of your children. God is a God of grace and mercy this morning. You can give your children power and you can give them passion. You can do so by loving them enough to do whatever it takes. Paul himself writes to Timothy. He wrote to Timothy in other places. He even wrote to the church in Corinth. Let all your things be done in charity. That's love. And here's where I want to end. I'm not going to get to the end of this. If I keep going, we're going to be here another hour. So I don't have enough chicken legs to share. Here's what I know. This is where I want to focus on this passion, this love. We might pick this up. We might have a second Mother's Day next Sunday. There's something about this love that God got a hold of my heart big time this weekend as we studied and prepared. And it's real love, tangible love, love that's hopefully centered around a husband and a wife loving each other in the home. If your children don't understand that type of love, sacrificial love, not self-serving, not love with strings attached, not love with intention and motivation to get something back, but just love, agape love. And as they get older, you hear me this morning, they're going to go looking for that love somewhere. They're going to go look for it. And children who have been raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord to have power and to have passion, to have bridled love, love for Christ, love for their parents, love for the church, love for the word. Then when the fake love, the faux love, the love that the roaring lion likes to sell to teenagers every week in our city. Hear me this morning. It sets them up to taste of the forbidden love. And it's love that will not satisfy. It puts them on a path and a trajectory that takes them to pain and sorrow. And there are so many people all over our city, maybe even people in our own lives, who are broken and fractured because there was no foundation of real, genuine, Christ-centered, Christ-focused love. Mamas and daddies, all the mamas and daddies say amen. The job is on us. We have to love each other. Men, we've been called to love our wives even as Christ loved the church. Where's the room for selfishness? Where's the room for self-serving? It doesn't exist. There's so much more to be said here, and we will come back to this. My hope and prayer is for every mom that's in this building. And here's what I'd like to do. This is how I want to end today. All the mamas, stand to your feet that are able. All the mamas in this room, I want you to stand to your feet. Whether your babies are in heaven, or whether your babies are still here, stand to your feet all over. I don't have the words. I don't have the education, the pedigree, or the eloquence to say what's in my heart this morning for you. But you are mighty warriors for Christ. You are the backbone of this church. You're the tender representation of the heart of Christ and the sweet Holy Ghost at your house. And I want you to know this morning, this church is going to pray for you like never before. We need our mamas. Hear me. We need our mamas. Stand firm. Don't give up any ground. Keep pushing. Don't give up. Lead your children. The nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Raise them right to the best of your ability. Let the pressures of this world fade away. And you go after Christ with everything you have in your life and in your heart. And Jesus will take care of the rest. Holy Father, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every mom that's standing under the sound of my voice. Holy Father, we pray that you'd equip them, empower them, strengthen them, give them bold courage, God, to look over their children and their homes, God, with eyes that love with compassion and a heart that reaches out and that leads in the home, God, with a mindset that's focused on the Word of God and what God would want in the house. And God, for the mama that's standing right now that's discouraged or broken or hurt, God, I pray that you'd help her today. Give her what I can't. Give her what her husband can't. Do what only you can do, Lord, and encourage her today. God, I pray for the future mothers that are still sitting, that want to be mamas, who are struggling to be mothers. Lord, bless them. If it be your will on next Mother's Day, God, could it be your will that there'd be children sitting next to them? Lord, do it. Do it for your glory and according to your will. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this service. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. And I thank you for this church, for what it means personally. Bless us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated.